say hello to the voice of the Hokies, Mr. John Lazor. John, good morning, pal. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Danny. Yourself?
I'm doing good. So before we jump into any Virginia Tech news, a little basketball, a little football, which we'll do, John, I know you spend almost all of your time, and that's a lot of time, calling games when you're at a stadium, at any sort of venue. But I've referenced this ESPN Outside the Lines report about food at these respective venues, professional sports. College sports are not factored in here, but I want to know from you, is there a place that you have absolutely loved to get stadium food from, or is it the opposite, where you're just going to completely avoid stadium food?
Oh, yeah, no, I love stadium food. And, you know, I think a lot of people nowadays, they look at the way that stadiums have become very corporate, and you've got different restaurants and options and stadiums. I'm talking about, you know, just the old grill.
Yeah.
There was a up in Binghamton, New York, at Nice Egg Stadiums. Nice Egg Energy Company sponsors the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. They were the Binghamton Mets when I was in the league, but there was a just an old school grill, man. And this guy on it, I can't remember his name, but he would always remember me when we came into town every year. And he'd hook me up with some of the best kielbasas in the land. But yeah, you know, I'm a salted pretzel with cheese guy. I had an intern one time I called pretzel with cheese. I'm all about the stadium food, Danny. I don't want to read the report.
No, I don't blame you. And the thing about it is I'm right there with you because I also enjoy some good stadium food. But the report didn't surprise me at all. And a majority, a vast majority of these places are not incurring high-level violations. But some of the places that are, it was just a little staggering. Before we get off this topic, though, John, has anybody ever brought you a turkey leg up to the booth at Lane Stadium? Have you had the chance to try one of those?
Nobody's ever succeeded in doing it. I don't know if anybody have tried and got intercepted. No, I have not tried one there. I have had one at a Renaissance Fair before, so I think I get the general gist.
Yeah, there you go. And they're even more special when you get to Lane, but maybe I'll sneak you one up there the next time we got a football game there next season, Lays. But let's talk a little basketball, man. We'll get a look into the football program here at the end of this segment, but Virginia Tech basketball, 3 wins in a row. They're getting ready for this game against Washington, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. The Huskies are a team, Lays, that they've had an interesting season. A 2-point loss to Gonzaga, but at the same time, they've been playing pretty well. So this is a game where Virginia Tech, come the end of the season, if they're able to mark this one on their resume, it's going to look pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think Buzz Williams knows that, and this team has had a lot of time to prepare, albeit finals week this week, so they haven't been on the court as much as they're generally accustomed to over the course of the week, but they've had a lot of time to prepare for the 2-3 zone, which, as Coach Williams often says, is more like a 4-out, 1-under zone. That, of course, mimics what Jim Boeheim does at Syracuse, so it's not a system that the Hokies are unfamiliar with, so I think that gives them somewhat of an advantage maybe over some of the other teams on the western side of the country and in the Pac-12 that are seeing this for the first and second go around now that Mike Hopkins is out there. With that said, that doesn't mean Virginia Tech will win. This is a very talented Washington team that's gotten better than last year, and I think you look at some of their stats and some of the things that they do well on the defensive end, kind of skewed at the moment. You mentioned their loss to Gonzaga and a couple of other losses. What they have at this point, they haven't shot the basketball very well this year. And, of course, that's somewhat of an outlier when it comes to guys that are, along their track records, much better shooters. So, you know, this is a game the Hokies have circled, not for any malicious reason, just because they only have a handful of opportunities for resume boosters in the non-conference portion. Purdue and the Charleston Classic was one of them. They obviously took advantage of that. Penn State and the ACC Big Ten Challenge was another. They obviously did not take advantage of that. So I think if they're looking at if they win this game tomorrow in Atlantic City, that they will look at their non-conference portion of the season as a success.
I'm with you on that. And Washington's adjusted defensive rating, at least if you're looking at this from a KenPom perspective, it's 49th in the country, which it's pretty darn good. Washington's going to they're going to match up with you and they're going to lock you down a little bit. But Nikhil Alexander Walker, John, he came in last year to this Virginia Tech program with a lot of hype around him, and you saw a lot of flashes of what type of player he can be last season, and maybe just wasn't quite as consistent as you would have liked him to be. But this year, now through non-conference, we're 9 games in, 17.7 points per game. He seems to be maturing. His shot seems to have improved. What are some of the other improvements that you've noticed out of Nikhil Alexander Walker?
Well, you know, everyone points to the offense and the fact that he's averaging in nearly 18 per game, and the Hokies have given him the ability to create more off the dribble and at times had him run the point because he, you know, when you're an NBA caliber prospect, which Nikhil is, a lot of times that is built off your ability to create for yourself off the dribble. And I didn't think he was able to do that much within the system last year. He was a catch and shoot guy. And when those shots weren't falling, he lost confidence at times and just kind of wilted, not in a negative way, just kind of let the other guys on the team, because you had a lot of firepower offensively, take the shots and take control. He's not doing that this year. But what I've been more impressed with from Nikhil this year is his all-around game. You know, he's been a lot more active defensively. I think Buzz Williams feels a lot more confident in the matchups that he puts Nikhil in the game, and his ability to not just guard his man but help other people. And you look at that, and his steal rate, he's averaging a couple of steals per game, just active hands, using it to athletic gifts all over the floor, recognizing that his defense can fuel offense. And you see that a ton in college basketball. You know, guys that have just dominated offensively through the prep ranks on the AAU circuit, and Nikhil certainly was that haven't necessarily had to use their whole potential or live up to their whole potential. And I think now he's recognizing that he can do that. And when he does, he's obviously a much more complete player.
The voice of the Hokies, John Lazor, joining us on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. And as John just alluded to, Nikhil Alexander-Walker averaging 2.3 steals per game. The other guy in the starting lineup for Virginia Tech that's averaging at least two steals per game would be senior Justin Robinson, John. And J-Rob obviously been a big part of this program now for every year that he's been playing for Buzz Williams, and it seems like he's been able to take another step forward this season as well. But it's more about keeping the offense in a rhythm, because they got all sorts of weapons around J-Rob, like Nikhil Alexander-Walker. We mentioned him, but Med Hill has shot the ball pretty well this season, and Ty Outlaw, I know they love having him back.
No, yeah. I mean, it's absolutely the model for what Buzz Williams wants to run in terms of his changeables and switchables offensively. But Justin Robinson is the straw that stirs the drink. Right. There are times where I watch him and he makes plays, Danny, and I already get sad for what will be when he's not here. Not to say the Hokies won't replace him with another quality point guard, and will be Sabidi will come into his own, and some of the other guys coming into the program. But he's one of those guys that we take for granted, I think, not just on the floor, but his personality as well. He's such an awesome guy. But the way he reads the floor, particularly in transition, the way he's able to space the floor and spread the floor, you know, he's not one of those athletically explosive guys in terms of throwing down tomahawks on dribble drive through the paint. But he sets up the chessboard better than just about anybody in the country. And this thing doesn't work without him, obviously, and it works at an elite level with him. So, yeah, I've gotten to the place of just appreciating J-Rob my time around him, one, but also just some of the things he sets up. And I think the next evolution, the next step for this team is the continued growth. And it's already started this year with him and Nikhil Alexander just working a little bit more in simpatico in terms of creating for each other, you know, a little bit more two-man game sometimes, particularly in transition. And we've really started to see them take strides over the last couple of weeks. I thought never more so evident than in that Purdue game.
One more question on hoops, John, then I'll get one question in on the football program before I let you go. But this Virginia Tech team right now, number 13 in the AP poll, they only have one loss this season, that loss at Penn State in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. A disappointing night, but one that Virginia Tech, I think, can learn a lot from. And you just mentioned you're looking at how this team can develop and become more simpatico with one another, rhythm on the offensive side of the ball. But the things that have held Virginia Tech back, it seems, the last couple of years, the ability to clean up the glass and the ability to stay locked in defensively. So I would imagine that as they get ready for ACC play, which is going to start with Notre Dame on New Year's Day, those are the things that they'll be working on as they try to get wins over Washington, NCA&T, and Maryland Eastern Shore.
Yeah, sure. You know, those are always going to be the things. And it's funny because Buzz Williams spent some time defending that. You know, hey, we're working on this, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, he knows exactly what this team is. Mm-hmm. And I think he feels comfortable with their level of doing both. They didn't lose at Penn State because of what they did or didn't do on the boards. They lost at Penn State because they completely got out of their offensive identity in terms of the shots that they were selecting and taking. They only gave up 63 on the road to a Power 5 team. You should win most of those games. I think the next step for this team is to play with a level of consistency, Danny, to use that firepower offensively more consistently against better competition. Because, you know, you walk into a game against Washington, quite frankly, and you're like, I hope we can win this game. And as you're ranked number 13 in the country, and as you have the experience level and you've gotten old like this team is, you know, let's just call a spade, this is a game that you should win. And it's right. Not a slight to Washington. They're a great team, but they're right now 51. Ken Pom rankings, you're right now 11. you know, you should win the game. Not to say you will, but those are the next steps to be taken. And not everything is judged on wins and losses, but, you know, a lot of it is at this phase of the season. And I think it would go a long way for this team from a confidence perspective to realize we are this team and we can summon that level of play when we need to.
And Tech certainly should be undefeated this season, but going back again to the Penn State game, it's not anything that's going to dig them into a hole that they can't dig or already haven't dug themselves out of. They got a favorable start to the ACC slate, Notre Dame, Boston College, both home games and Castle to get things going. But John, before I let you go, if we take a quick look at the Virginia Tech football program, just curious as to how the bowl preparations are going. How is this team's spirit as it's been a couple of weeks since they were able to take down Marshall and get to yet another bowl game, but they're going to try and go out and get this win over Cincinnati here in a couple of weeks, and it's a team that has grown themselves this season. So what's the mood right now with this football program?
You know, it's interesting with this early signing day now in December, you know, the first couple of weeks of bowl prep aren't necessarily what they were in terms of your staff being around. So quite frankly, I haven't seen Justin Fuente. I think I've seen him once.
Understandable.
you know, I'm sure his team has seen him a few more times than that. And he's been in and out of town periodically. But, you know, that's when you're making in-home visits and they've got official recruits here, official visits from recruits over the weekend, making that last push and getting guys lined up for 2020 and all of that. So the mood is great. You know, I think after you secured that bowl, there was kind of a big exhale within the Merriman Center, which for those that don't know is which houses the football department. Mm. And you see that and you hear that and they're getting ready from a logistics sense. I think from a team standpoint, they realized that they got through the roughest stretch of injury and being just very diminished off their depth chart. And now it's kind of for the older guys, the seniors like Ricky Walker, it's like, well, what else do we have left to leave on the table? Let's just go out there and do it. Cincinnati's a phenomenal team, been breaking them down and just very defensively stout, one of the best units in the country. So the Hokies, I think, will have their hands full in the Military Bowl. But, you know, right now, you know, the mantra is let's keep the winning season streak alive and all those things. But I think the mood through the fan base and also here in Blacksburg is, yes, we'd love to win the game. We'd love to keep that streak alive, but we've avoided kind of that disaster perception scenario of losing all the streaks, got through the year, and now let's start building again, which, of course, they're doing in this recruiting phase.
Tech football, they're not going to play until New Year's Eve, December 31st. Tech basketball, they're playing tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tip-off. The Hokies, the number 13 team in the country, they get the Washington Huskies. Atlantic City, New Jersey. Lays, I'll let you go. Get back to your pregame preparations, pal. Thanks so much for the time this morning.
All right, Danny. Good to be with you.
Have a good call, man. That's John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, joining us on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline.